Are you ready, kids?
I am.
I can't hear you. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Absorbent and yellow and poor as a sea. If nautical nonsense be something you wish, then drop on the deck and float like a fish.
Silly, annoying, sophomoric, friendly Sponge. And he has best friends, too. Do you know SpongeBob's best friend's name?
Patrick.
Patrick, that's right. And Patrick's a starfish, and he lives under a rock, because, you know, starfish live under a rock. He goes there, and he actually, when he goes home, well, first, you know where SpongeBob lives, right? Where does SpongeBob live? Where? Pineapple under the sea, right, and Patrick lives next door, and when Patrick is going to go home, he comes and he lifts up the rock, and he crawls underneath it, and then boom, it just lands on him. So Patrick lives under a rock, and not too long ago, after some controversial publicity about the nature of SpongeBob and Patrick's relationship, their friendship, SpongeBob received an extravagant welcome at the United Church of Christ offices in Cleveland. Actually had a stuffed animal. The whole event, it was reported on the UCC website. A few news media picked it up. It was very small, very silly, but it did help to get this message across of no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. It was just, it was silly. And there's, you know, I don't think that the pictures are on the website anymore of the UCC, but there's still a few pictures floating around there of President John Thomas sitting at his desk and SpongeBob sitting across there, you know, with a big grin. It's a stuffed SpongeBob. It was really a fun day. And it's, you know, after, you know, how do you do negative publicity or say that someone had said that SpongeBob was, oh, it's really a horrible word. I can't remember it now. If you, after the service, you'll go home and you're going to read all of the text on the website. It's linked in there as to what had happened there. But I think that in all of the fun, and it was a whole lot of fun, and it was a little bit of publicity, we missed something, because SpongeBob rarely goes anywhere, if ever, without his best friend, whose name is? Yep, see, we're getting this, you know, this little lesson on SpongeBob there. And yes, they're cartoons, they're not real. We've established that too, right? Just like the puppet doesn't really fly. Y'all have that, right? SpongeBob and Patrick, not real, but cartoon characters. Question is, though, you know, if we can suspend our disbelief for a moment, where was Patrick when SpongeBob visited the UCC headquarters? Since they always go, you know, places together, where was he? Was he under the rock, or was he somewhere else? I wish I could ask him, but I can't because he's a cartoon, yeah. But he does live under that rock. Maybe that's why he didn't come to the UCC headquarters. Maybe he had no idea what was going on because he was under his rock. Maybe he didn't know that there was any controversy going on with the news media. Maybe he didn't know anything about the trip. And incidentally, if SpongeBob and Patrick live under the sea, how could they actually visit the UCC headquarters, which are on top of the sea, without some above sea? How would you call that? If scuba is, what does scuba stand for? Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. So scuba, overwater. Yeah. So they didn't have their scuba suits, but you know, I don't know how. And I digress, because we know that SpongeBob and Patrick are cartoon characters, and it really doesn't matter if they can breathe above or below. And we don't have to address that question there. It doesn't really add anything to the conversation, but let's continue. A little later, after Patrick crawled out from under his rock, I wonder what story SpongeBob had to tell him about his journey and his encounter with God's extravagant welcome to the United Church of Christ headquarters. And in this week's Bible reading that we had from Luke 24, 13 to 35, Cleopas and another disciple encountered Jesus as they walked along the road. And they didn't recognize him. They even asked something like, "What rock have you been under that you don't know what's happened over the last couple days about Jesus?" And during their conversation with the person they thought was a stranger, Jesus said something similar to them. He said, "What rock have you been under that you haven't been reading the scriptures that says what's supposed to happen?" Living under a rock. In the SpongeBob show, Patrick is clueless about mostly everything, most things. And the fact that his character lives under a rock helps to drive that home. The writers of the show are not unintelligent. And when adults watch the show, you can get the humor that's going on there. And you can get lessons about stuff, about being kind to other people, about working hard. They're all in there amidst all the silliness. But Patrick is happy not knowing much about anything. He's just a happy guy. And I wonder, what kind of lesson can we learn there? Are we happy not to know much about anything? Do we ever miss things because we really don't want to know what's going on? Or do we ever miss things because we're not really looking to understand? Don't talk about that. I don't want to know. Like, the UCC has had a bit of controversy over the past couple weeks. Are you aware? Raise your hand if you're aware. The UCC's had some controversy. And almost all of it surrounds a few short sound bites from Reverend Jeremiah Wright, a colleague of mine in the United Church of Christ. He's retired now, but he still speaks, and he's still ordained by the UCC, and he was, and continues to be, at least will be, pastor emeritus at Trinity United Church in Chicago. And I wonder, what are we missing when we rely on a few sound bites to sum up the ministry of a pastor or the ministry of a church? And I've met Reverend Wright, and I wouldn't say that we're even acquaintances. I've just met him. He's spoken at places where I've been before. We've shaken hands. He wouldn't know who I was. I know who he is because he's, a celebrity pastor. And I'm not a celebrity pastor. I'm just the guy who shook his hand one time when he was speaking. But I have heard him preach. And the man can preach. He preaches sermons on so many topics. And he very often says things that get people's feathers ruffled. And he challenges people not to just sit on their backside on their faith journey. He challenged them to get up and live their faith in Jesus. And Trinity Church, this huge UCC church in Chicago, it serves its community with all kinds of outreach ministries. And you could go to the Trinity website and find that they have food sharing, seniors ministry, dance ministry, HIV, AIDS ministry, music, drama, life-changing kinds of ministry that goes on at Trinity UCC, and it's all in the name of Jesus. Trinity does what thousands of churches across the country do, or at least what thousands of churches across the country want to do, or even in the world. It welcomes all and seeks to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all. And I don't think it's fair to characterize a vital ministry like Trinity UCC as something awful. It's not fair to summarize the work of Reverend Wright in a few sound bites. If you listen to the whole sermons of these short sound bites, you'll find out that he's talking about something vastly different than what the sound bites portray. What do we miss when we don't look at the big picture? What did those two disciples miss? Because their eyes were kind of narrow, thinking Jesus is dead, they couldn't see him even when he was right there, staring at them. What rock were you living under that you didn't understand what the prophets have been telling you? Let me tell you some more, Jesus said to Cleopas and the other disciple. He told them more and then was about to keep on walking along his way as the disciples arrived at their village. They begged him to stay and to eat with them, and he did. And when they ate with him, they realized it was Jesus. And there's a whole cool sermon in just how in the breaking of the bread, Jesus was evident. It's like we get it there and how the sacramental nature of hospitality, they invited him in, and when they broke bread, they got it. That'll be another year. You gotta grab one topic at a time, but that's one to think about. But this day, I want to sum up things about what's happened with the disciples there, what happens in our churches, and knowing that we're all on a faith journey. But sometimes we're clueless as to what's going on. Sometimes we encounter Jesus and we don't really get it, or we're not really aware of it. Sometimes when we stop to contemplate what's been going on, we see it. God is with us on this imperfect but very necessary journey of faith that we're on. And the disciples, they thought everything was done. This is the end of the story. We thought he was the one. He wasn't the one, but we don't get what's going on, but it seems like everything is wrapped up. We got to just move on. Jesus showed them that there was so much more. Trinity has had a rough go of it over the past several weeks, but I believe their journey, like our journey at Union Congregational Church, is one where Jesus is right with us, teaching and guiding us to be vital churches to share the good news of Jesus. In the United Church of Christ, we have a history and a continuing journey. Look at your bulletin insert. There was a full-page ad in the Washington Post, New York Times, I forget which one it was, this week. The United Church of Christ feels like it's been swift-voted because of some of this stuff that's been going on. And so the headquarters said, hey, we want to put an ad in the New York Times that sort of shares our story. What do you think about that? If you think that it's a good idea, donate some money toward this particular fund. It's going to cost $120,000 to do it. And in 3 days, there was $180,000 in the accounts, just like that. And so the ad ran, and there's going to be another one coming up in the USA Today sometime. It's going to be similar, but the one that in USA Today is going to invite the nation to a sacred conversation about race. We are a very, very white church in a very, very white community, but on May 18th, we're going to have a sacred conversation here about race, about how we have, you know, what in the history of our town, what in the history of our community, what in the history of our church relates to race. How have we failed? How have we succeeded? Where do we go from here? Mark that one down in your calendars, May 18th. Trinity Sunday. Trinity for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it kind of matches in there with Trinity United Church of Christ because Trinity is named for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're the people of the Mayflower. That's what it says in there. We were early abolitionists. We've ordained people from cast out groups of people early in the history of people from cast out groups getting ordained. We called for a national health care policy back in the 70s. Look at that on the back of the UCC bulletin today. Health care for all. In 1975, we said we need to address a national health care policy, and we didn't have one then. In 1991, we said we need universal health care in the United States. And whether or not you agree with that, you have to say that the United Church of Christ has been early with statements like that, especially from the religious community. I'm afraid that sometimes we lose sight of what's important. And sometimes we get involved in stuff maybe that isn't good. And sometimes we make mistakes, and our leaders in Cleveland make mistakes, and our leaders here in town make mistakes. And sometimes pastors can say things that are so offensive that if you hear a sound bite, that you can't get past that because it's such an offensive thing to say. But in the journey where we make mistakes and we do it imperfectly, Jesus continues to be with us, teaching and guiding us to be a vital denomination, sharing the good news of Jesus. And then there's our story, our personal faith journey. And I wonder if you can look back and see any real significant Jesus encounters in your life. And I don't mean you're walking down the road and there's a guy walking with you and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that was Jesus with me. No, but moments where you're like, God really showed up. I get it because this was going on and I can look back and say, wow, God was with me right there. Or maybe we're happier not to know much about anything. Maybe we're happier to miss things because we just don't want to know because it's too uncomfortable to get it sometimes. Or maybe we're happy to miss things because we're not looking to understand. It's easier not to understand. I think the challenge for today is a question. It's, are we willing to keep our eyes and our minds open? Are we willing for Jesus to open our minds and eyes for what he has to show us? Are we asking the question, open my eyes that I might see? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Are we willing to continue to follow Jesus as he opens our eyes, opens our ears, opens our mouths along the journey. So then another question is, are we going to decide to live under a rock? Or are we going to live our lives seeking Jesus, living under the rock? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your guidance. Thank you that when we get it all wrong, that you are still with us. Thank you that when we make mistakes, we can seek forgiveness from you, and you can still get things done. Thank you for opening our eyes. Help us when our eyes are closed to be open to you opening them and to being able to see what your will is. In Jesus' name, amen.